Thankful for everyone that is here tonight.
Yes.
I'd like to take a look in 1 Samuel chapter 26. 1 Samuel 26 and verse 1, "And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hachilah, which was before Jeshimon by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and when he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness, and David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to a place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his host. And Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul to camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster, but Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with a spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?
Yes.
David said furthermore, As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him. Or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into the battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. This passage tells me something about David. That he was an honorable man. It was within his power to destroy his enemy. All he had to do is grant permission to his servant, and it would have been done. But he had some character about him that I respect. David saw beyond the ability to destroy his enemy. He recognized that really, that was not something that belonged to him. He said, Who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? And he went on to say, As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him. You notice who the battle belonged to? It didn't belong to David. He said, The Lord shall smite him.
Yes.
Or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and shall perish. I think there's a good lesson for us in this. Sometimes we may have some real troubles in life. We may even have an enemy.
Yes.
But the battle belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to us. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. Second Kings chapter 6 and verse 8. The king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, In such place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled, for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, Will ye not shew me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king. But Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, Behold, he is in Dolan. If God was telling the prophet the military moves, yes, and where the enemy was located, don't you think the king of Syria would be a little bit concerned about issuing a command to go capture the prophet? If God was on the prophet's side, why would the king of Syria say, go capture the prophet? Don't you think God could say, they're coming to capture you. All you have to do is head over here. The battle is the Lord's. God tells his servant what you're doing. It reminded me of the passage in Daniel where the king had a dream and the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Yes. And Daniel said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. You notice who does this? The Lord does. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness. Yes. And the light dwelleth with him. Did you know that God knows all about your enemies? Yes. He knows all their moves. He knows where you're vulnerable. I want God on my side. Yes. I want him in control of fighting my battles.
Yes, amen.
And Daniel went on to say, There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Well, back here in 2 Kings chapter 6 again. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants, and he wanted to know who the traitor was. And one of the servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. Verse 14, Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. How many people do you need to capture a prophet? How much military strength do you need? Well, I think the king of Syria was aware that he was fighting against God, don't you?
Yes.
And what does he do? He musters up a lot of strength and manpower to go and capture the prophet. Can you fight against God? And when the servant of the man of God was risen up early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
Yes.
And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Don't you want to put the battle in the Lord's hands? I believe I'd rather have horses and chariots of fire defending me,
yes,
than all the horses and men of the king of Syria. I believe I'd rather have the Lord on my side than to have the popular vote of the people, or to have the authority of any position that anyone wanted to give me, or to have all the wealth that this world has to offer. I'd rather have the Lord on my side.
Yes.
Can you picture this? All this host compassing the city, and the Lord having the mountain full of horses, of chariots, and chariots of fire. Now, when the king of Syria's men and horses come against this army of fire, what do you think the horses are going to do? I would imagine they would panic, don't you?
Yes.
In Acts chapter 5, the religious leaders were taking counsel how to slay Peter, and maybe it was one other apostle. Acts chapter 5 and verse 33. When they heard that, they were cut to their heart and took counsel to slay them. And there stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, and he had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth for a little space. And he said unto them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men."
Yes.
And he went on to mention two different men that had raised insurrections, gathered men to themselves, and those men were slain, and the people that followed them were scattered. And verse 38, "Now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or work be of men, it will come to naught.
Yes.
But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest ye haply be found to fight against God." That was a wise man.
Yes.
You just can't fight against God and win. It's very valuable to have the Lord on your side.
Amen.
Your enemies are not going to win. The enemy of your soul will not win in a battle against you as long as you have the Lord on your side. Well, I want to jump back to 2 Kings chapter 6. Remember, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. 2 Kings 6 and 18. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Elisha didn't even need the horses and chariots of fire in his battle, did he?
No.
Because the Lord smote them with blindness. And Elisha said unto them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek." But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, as they were coming to Samaria, that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may be able to see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, "My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" This sounds a little bit like David's servant. And he answered, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." Isn't that a way to treat your enemies?
Yes.
Feed them, give them something to drink, and send them home. Jesus said, "Love your enemies." How do you suppose it made these soldiers feel? Mighty foolish? Suppose they felt a little bit guilty? When God is fighting our battles, we don't have to fight.
Yes, amen.
What I mean is we don't have to fight it ourselves.
Yes.
We still must be soldiers of the cross. But the Lord has a way of bringing victories where all of our human thought, all of our strength, all of our intelligence, whatever it may be, really that's not needed. Because the Lord has different ways that he can win the battle for us.
Yes, amen.
Had the blindness not worked, he could have used the chariots of and horses of fire. But when God is on our side, we can relax about the battle. Well, the Syrians returned. Seemed like they would have learned their lesson, but they returned. And they surrounded Samaria, which was the capital city of Israel. And in their isolation of that city, the inhabitants were suffering a famine. It got so bad that a mother killed her son to eat her son. Cannibalism. Let's read in 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 3. Would someone read 2 Kings 3 and verse 7, 2 Kings 7, 3 through 6.
And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit so here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us."
The Lord made him hear a noise. It sounded just like a lot of chariots and horses and a great host. And they fled. And they left their tents and their horses and their asses and even the camp as it was and fled for their life. Isn't it interesting how creative God is in fighting the battles? You know, we may feel like the battle's just overwhelming and everything I can muster, all of my strength, all of my intelligence, all that I can do, all the people that I could gather together to fight my battle for me, I still can't outnumber this host.
Yes.
And the Lord is so creative in how he can fight the battle for us. A way that we didn't even imagine. The Lord can bring it to pass. Has the Lord ever done that for you? Isn't it amazing? I remember one time something happening. Oh, I worried and I worried and I worried. And the Lord worked something beyond my expectation. And I said, that was the Lord. He is creative in the way that he fights our battles. And I think part of his creativity is just to show us he's God. And there's not a limit to what they call a bag of tricks. His techniques, his ability to fight the battles. He's not limited. Let's turn to, first of all, let's finish this one up. The lepers came and they found this abundance of drink and silver and gold and raiment. Remember, those people were starving to death. And they found all this spoil and carried it. And they finally made it known in the city. And those people, in verse 16, went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrian. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, a small amount of money. 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. When the Lord says he can win a battle, he can win. Exodus chapter 14. Who do you want to fight your battles? You want to fight it? Or you want to turn the battle over to the Lord? Exodus chapter 14 and verse 5. It was told the king of Egypt and that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, that they said, "Why have we done this that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. An impressive array. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh the king, and he pursued after the children of Israel. Verse 9, the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea. Verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, and stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew to you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. When the Lord wins a victory, it is complete. The Lord shall fight for you. You want the Lord to fight for you? You have some battles, you have some things that are difficult in your life. Turn the battle over to the Lord.
Yes, amen.
The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Sometimes we need to hold our peace, don't we? Sometimes I need to hold my peace better.
Yes.
Sometimes I've got this turmoil going on inside. Lord, help us to hold our peace. And let the Lord fight for us. Well, the Lord's creativity continues. He told Moses in verse 16, lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground. Is that the solution you would have come up with? Or would have been, Lord, quick, get the other army, some allies, something. Do something to that help us to fight harder and stronger. Let our arrows fly straighter. And our swords, let them land on the mark while they keep missing and stumbling. Just confuse them a little, Lord, in this battle. Make us stronger than our enemy, Lord. Well, the Lord had a different solution than that. There came, in verse 20, the camp between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. The Lord put a protection up. And Moses stretched his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. Is there any limit to what God can do to win our battles? And the children of Israel went forth into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. And the Egyptians pursued. And you know what happened?
Yes.
The Lord said to Moses in verse 26, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon Egypt, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. Oh, Lord, all these horsemen, all these chariots, what am I going to do? The sea on this side, them on that side. We're outnumbered, Lord. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the waters destroyed the Egyptians. Verse 30, thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. The creativity of God.
Yes.
Psalms 91 and 2 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my strength,
yes,
and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. I believe that we are safe letting God fight our battles. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, would someone read verses 46 through 47?
Rise, let us be going.
Behold, he is at the hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and the elders of the people.
Just a few disciples and Jesus. And against them, the enemy, being a great multitude with swords and staves. How are we going to fight this battle? Well, here's my sword. Verse 51, and behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, one sword against this multitude.
Yes.
And struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Oh, I'm going to do something to help in my battle. Let me take my one sword. I'm going to do everything. Let me die fighting to help win this battle against this big multitude of people with swords and staves. You see the futility of fighting our own battles?
Yes.
Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Some of the cities in Honduras are dangerous cities on the mainland. And I was going to go, and sometimes I go there and I spend the night in a hotel. I'm there all by myself. And I walk the street sometimes to go get something to eat or something. And somebody asked me some years back, do you take a gun? Mm-hmm. No, I don't need a gun. You see, the angel of the Lord doesn't let any bullets get to me.
Yes.
Even if somebody fired a gun at me, it would have to get past the angel of the Lord.
That's right.
Who's fighting the battles? I don't need to fight my own battle because I have the Lord to do that for me. Put your sword in his place. All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Do you think God is limited in how he can fight his battles? Do you think he's limited for resources, for military power to overcome the enemy? In 1 Samuel chapter 17, and verse 45, David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You see who you're fighting against? You're coming to me with all this military strength, with literal weapons, but I'm coming to you not in my own strength, not in my skill as a slinger of stones,
yes,
not in the ability of the stone to bring you down, but I come to thee in the name of the one who's really fighting the battle.
Yes,
in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. It's not this day I am the conqueror. This day I am going to be stronger than you. But it's this day the Lord, the one who's fighting the battle, see, will deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air. When we recognize who the battle belongs to,
yes, amen,
it helps take fear away, doesn't it?
Yes.
When we realize it's not up to me anymore, it's not up to how skillfully I can use this sword and whether I miss and cut his ear off or actually take the servant's head off. That's not the deciding factor in the battle anymore. Because the battle belongs to someone so much more powerful than all this host that I'm having to face. Romans 8 and 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You ever felt like you have a big host against you?
Yes.
Surrounding the city, will Lord open our eyes to see the chariots of fire?
Yes. Amen.
To see the angel of the Lord? Or if you feel like the Israelites did when the Egyptian army came against them, Lord, help us to stand still, to get a hold of God, to get some peace, and to recognize there will be victory in this battle.
Amen.
Maybe it's the devil that's been badgering you, been harassing you. Would someone get 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8? 1 Peter 5 and 8.
Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring...
Yes?
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Are you afraid of the roaring lion? I'm thankful the Lord can take care of that roaring lion for us. The world will be against us. Jesus said, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Sometimes the world can be very intimidating. Sometimes the fear of the future, the fear of the unknown, can be so frightening. Do you see how it helps so much to recognize the Lord is going to be fighting these battles for me? The Lord has fought battles for me in the past.
Yes.
He has been very creative. Think of Gideon.
Yes.
Some pitchers, some lamps, some trumpets, and a great host of the enemy. What a creative way God has to win these battles for us. When we look at all the successes of the past, all the victories of the past, it ought to encourage us to recognize God is going to win our battles for us in the future as well. And no matter how large the host, no matter how frightening it may be, how dark of a picture Satan is painting, no matter how loudly he is roaring, the battle doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. So you may come against me with all your military strength, world, or enemy of my soul. You may come against me with all of this accusation, all temptations, all of these things. But let me point you to the one who really has the battle.
Yes.
And that's the Lord. And when we fight in the name of the Lord, when we make the battle His, we can have victory.
Yes.
I'm thankful for that.